The Share Pickers Podcast.
And joining me on the podcast and live on video, looking like the man from Milk Tray, it's Alan Green, CEO of Brand Communications, in his black roll neck. If you're not watching this on video, check it out on video. Looking very sharp, matching hair, matching glasses. Doesn't mess around now. You're all right.
Matching headset too. Headset. It's really.
You should have a wireless, Al. What's going on there? Wireless is the thing now. I'm walking the dog sometimes. I see people with massive headphones on, their wires plugged in. I think, just get some small buds. It's easier, isn't it? I see some old guys with huge headphones. I can't smile when I see that.
But you see, I'm Dom Jolly here. Do you remember Dom Jolly? Mobile phone. Hello! That's my era, you see. So I prefer, stuff like this I can plug in, and it goes in. Whereas remote stuff, I've, in fact, an old colleague who knows who he is, and I shan't mention his name, also has a similar system to you. And the thing is, it never connects properly, so you can be talking to him. And, on average, every phone call we make, I'm spending probably about 10% of that call waiting for his system to actually connect up.
Yeah, that's annoying. I know. Well, that's his lack of technical know-how. I mean, I do have the odd glitch doesn't connect, but it's normally good to go. By the way, big weekend of sport. Let's not mention the rugby, but you can take some solace there because, of course, Spurs got hammered 3-0. I don't know what happened there. So my son, obviously a big Spurs fan, didn't mention the Spurs game. I don't really keep up with it, but when they win, I know about it. But when they lose, it doesn't say a thing, It's like, yeah. I said, just it popped up on my phone. I said, Monty, I was like, what happened to Spurs? Mumble. And walked off. That's what it really.
It's remarkable, isn't it? We really looked like we'd hit a vein of form last weekend against Aston Villa. We smashed Villa 4-0, and we played them off the park, really. And there was a sense then, great, this team's really coming together. Mickey van der Ven got injured, and then we go to Fulham, where historically, recently, we've done quite well. The last time we lost to Fulham to these margins was, I think, back in 1983. So a long time ago, but they smashed us 3-0 and the team didn't turn up. We were just off it everywhere. We have a long way to go. We have an awful long way to go. So, what can I say? Monty?
Well, I suppose with progress like that, it is a couple of steps forward, one step back, isn't it? Same with rugby in Wales. I mean, they did stick in five steps back, I think. But the excuse is it's a young team. So, hopefully they got mature a bit.
But the last few minutes of that game, I mean, particularly when your scrum half kicked the ball forward, and scored that last try. Of course, it could have bounced left or right, but it bounced straight up into his arms. He didn't need to break stride, and he buried that try. So, Wales are going to be great. They're a young side. They're going to really come good in the next year or so. So
I like your positivity, Al. Do you know, half time I went to Asda. I said, oh, it's on this. And I said, my wife was going to go. I said, I'll go. I said, I can't watch this anymore. And literally, my mate was texting me, they're coming back. I thought, oh, it's going to be another Scotland Wales, where Scotland, nil at no point on the board, Wales in half time. They came back with 1 point of winning it.
But
anyway, Al, do you know what? I always remember you highlighting the reason why I think first of a podcast with you, but and you got lots of ideas, stock ideas there. And I always remember you talking about war paint London. I said, okay. And we had a few jokes about it being, makeup getting popular now with all these drag queen shows and all that stuff. There must be double the market size now for them, double the opportunity. But it's done incredibly well. In fact, let's have a look at the chart. I'll share the chart of your war paint London. And look at this. And I think you were talking about it down here, literally a couple of quid. Yeah. It's now, what is it? It's now, if you're 4 kilometers from my head from the screen.
It's more than double than last year,
hasn't it? Go on.
Yep. This time last year was £2 a share. Today's £4.29 a share or £4.23 a share. And with very good reason. With very good reason.
Yeah. Al, if you can find any more of these, right? This is what I want. This is almost like, it was sub 100 million market cap. It was growing top line. And of course, I keep saying this, if you're looking at small companies, you want them to grow. So it's essential they are growing top line. And that's what it was doing. And look at that. It just, it had a dip back, by the way, back in 2021, came from 239 down to a quid. And they said, wow. And then it broke up again and it hasn't stopped since. But it's still looking powerful. So you can find another one of those, Al, right? even more a month or something, if you can, possible. It's not easy because it's exceptional business. But you can find one of those, that'd be perfect. But I don't know, what's your thoughts on war paint now? Any thoughts?
It's a niche business. I mean, they have just literally put out a trading update, and the trading update, once again, they're going to the performance to the year ending 31st December 23 now expected to be ahead of market expectations. They expected £85 million worth of sales. They now reckon they're going to do nearly £90 million worth of sales. The margins remain robust, exceeding margins in 2022, and profit before tax of not less than £18 million, which is well over doubles last year, £7.7 million last year. So that even though the group have grown that strongly, they continue to grow and they continue to deliver, and they're doing so because they are in a niche market. They're able to generate economies of scale. You know, if we go back to a couple of years ago, they acquired a couple of brands which enabled them to white label and to manufacture their own stuff and also ramp up the distribution network at the same time. So their manufacturing costs are low. They can manufacture in scale, and because of that, they're able to really focus on the distribution network and accelerate sales. And that's precisely what we're seeing now. I mean, you know, they've increased sales, beaten expectations for last year. So I wouldn't bet against them doing the same again in quarter one this year. It'll get to a stage where the market becomes saturated and that curve will start to level out. But for now, this is just one huge growth company. And of course, they're operating in a niche area where they absolutely know what the costs are and they've got control of the costs, but they've got a manufacturing network in place that enables them to continue to scale up and to maintain margins.
Yeah, well, in fact, look at the margin there. The almost twin turbo engines of growth here is when you're not only growing top line, but your margins improve. You know, because and they did that here. Look at that, 28% revenue, but the margin's gone from 33.8 gross margin to 36.4. And like I said, profit before tax 106%, so looking very good. And they're just in the UK. They're expanding. Someone contacted me saying I question the value now here a little bit. But someone said are they heading to America a little bit? Sometimes that can be a little bit hard work. But in fact, look at this. So this is their results last year. All look at the growth there. So I look at different metrics, honestly. But the questionable thing here is value a little bit, because their PE, this is historical figure, of course, last year's results, but their PE is a little bit high and everything. But so they need to ramp up again. But all decent stuff. Momentum's good. I think, in fact, they broke a target, I think. Now, where's the broke target? Look at the broke target a second. It's not there. They've got a forecast in there, it's unusual. But it'd be interesting to see if they can expand elsewhere, because I suppose they need that now, because it's rallied strongly. What I'm saying, Al, I'm not saying that's a good pick now, because valuation maybe is a little bit stretched. But if you can find companies like that, Al, early on, that's what I'm after.
Well, it's either going to be companies in niche industries, is cosmetics a niche industry, perhaps not, but I think the way war paint have approached it, they've turned it into something of a niche industry. But their acquisitions, what they did well in their early stage of growth, they made a couple of really good acquisitions which enabled them to scale the business and keep manufacturing costs to a minimum. Now, you'll get to a point where you'll probably outgrow those manufacturing facilities. Can you then go on and replicate on a larger scale? And of course, if you're operating globally, then you've got to go and speak to other manufacturers. Can you maintain quality control and after sales and everything that goes with that? And those are where the challenges lie. But I think given what they've done to date, you look at what they've delivered for investors, if you were in at ATP, you'd be delighted, wouldn't you? And I think you'd be back in the company. You'd have taken some money off the table, but you'd still be back in this company to deliver further growth. And if for any reason there is a pullback, because also what we see is when companies do perform so strongly like this, if they do disappoint or if one of the metrics is slightly off, you'll often see a disproportionate pullback, and that could well create an opportunity to get back in and see that value return fairly near term.
Yeah, just looking at the chart here, look, this 2000 really dipped down. You had of COVID stuff going on and a fallout from that. Yep. But you see this level here where it's sort of struggling above 140. And then this is a 200-day moving average in the red for people watching on video. And it sort of broke that, came back down. Then it, nice, a strong day, broke that. And then broke previous 140 level. And then it had a little bit of a pullback, but then rallied again. So that level there, 140, was almost resistance that they broke. And since then, it hasn't really looked back. Look at that. It's not even gone anywhere near the 200-day moving average. It's bounced off the 50-day moving average nicely. And it hasn't looked back. But
And so I think, and also, you know, if you relate that to performance terms, that of course relates to 2023, and they've the market expected a return of 85 million turnover, and they've actually delivered 89.5 million, so nearly 90 million. So that's a big uplift, you know. So if they can keep on doing that, then you know I think the 200 day. I mean, you look where it is now. It's looking fantastic, isn't it, that chart? It really is.
Yeah. Okay. What else you got, Al? What else you talking about?
Okay. So last year, last December, in fact, I took a trip to Anglesey in Wales.
On your motorbike?
No, actually. Although I do tour around Wales fairly regularly on the motorbike, as followers on social media of mine will know, but this was to see a company called Anglesey Mining, Epigode AYM, but more specifically, we went to look at the Paris Mountain project, where there exists an old mine there, and an old mine shaft, and an area that can only be described as a lunar landscape. It was formerly an open pit mine, and there are all sorts of oxides on the surface that run off into a tailing pond. A lot of history there. You've got it. And this tower here, you see, if you come back from there, there's a lunar landscape. It's been used for various film sets, such as Mortal Kombat and others. There's the old mine shaft there. You can see the shaft there. It's a beautiful area. Now, the locals love this mine. They're fully supported because it's been there for years. So although it's a brownfield site, the locals love it. And the tailing ponds used to drain off into the bay, and the bay was so toxic that all the old sailing boats used to come in, moor there for 2 weeks, and the water in the bay used to clear all the barnacles off the bottom of the boat, so they could then sail on and add a few knots to their top speed. But what you've got here is a polymetallic mine. But the team there, under Joe Battersill, who is a non-exec director, that they're going to be appointing a new chief executive and probably further board members in the coming months. But what you've seen, or what we've seen there, is a drilling campaign that is going to deliver a significant upgrade to the existing PFS or pre-feasibility study. They've identified a geographic anomaly under the ground that goes into an area called the Northern Copper Zone. And the grades they've been putting out, I was in the core shed, were just chock full of mineralization and copper. And they've identified a zone that was initially thought to be some 50 meters thick, but it's up to 100 meters thick. And it could extend as far as a kilometer underground. So that's huge. So what that will deliver is a significant upgrade to the PFS that was done previously back in the day. The company's got a few more holes to drill. It will probably have to come back to the market to raise money to fund the drilling of those holes. But there are permits that will be issued to continue with the mine and the work. But those permits, in the sense, are they've been described as similar to if you have, say, permission to build an extension on your house, and that permission lapses, you can go back to the council, pay a fee, and renew. And it's the same with the permits. The locals are also fully supportive, and there's the prospect that with copper or with the amount of copper they've identified in the core that's come up from the holes that they've drilled so far, we could be seeing, if copper comes back onto the UK critical minerals list, which it should be, and it should have been in the first place, then there's the possibility of grants such as the UK Infrastructure Bank that provided a £25 million grant to Cornish Lithium. We could be looking at those that sort of money coming in, and that sort of money would start to rejuvenate the local area, create more employment, and so on. The other added bonus is that the mine is about 20 miles from Holyhead Port, and there is a jetty there that's already been identified that could be used to take the ore out. So the road route's already been approved, so the ore can be taken from the port, it can be shipped out and shipped to market from there. The company also has a 49% stake in the Grängesberg iron ore project in Sweden, and the Grängesberg project has a net present value of $688 million. They've got first right of refusal to go to 52.5%, and they also have a stake in the Labrador iron ore mines in Quebec in Canada, a 12% stake. But the focus is on Paris Mountain and bringing this project back to life. And we're going to see, I think, a transformational year for the company. And I mean, we're seeing, you know, looking at this chart here, you know, we're seeing the 50 days punch through the 200 day. But are we going to see this return? And my guess is, yes, we are. We're going to be back over TP before too long.
Yeah, it seems like maybe that's, well, we can't tell yet, because obviously it's all about, with you know, exploration companies. Like I said, when you're looking at a loss-making company, you've got to think, first of all, how much cash they got, how long will it last? And that's the most important thing about loss-making companies. But it seems to bounce off the low there. By the way, if you're watching, you know, listening on podcasts, I just looked at their website. Some cracking drone footage over Anglesey there, isn't it? Fair
it's a beautiful place.
Video.
It really is quite stunning. And I mean, I was very privileged to go up there, but also looking in the core sheds too and speaking to the drill team, there's the team on site are hugely enthusiastic, and it's a really exciting project. But also, it does, for some reason, if you go to the US, the EU, Australia, copper is a critical mineral for all of those jurisdictions. For some reason, the UK have not included copper on the critical minerals list. And when you consider an electric vehicle, in an internal combustion engine, you've got an average of 23 kilograms of copper in an internal combustion engine car. In an EV, it's 85%. So, you know.
Well, the UK got it wrong, haven't they? I mean,
it's
behind the curve here on this one, because it's obviously, more copper is needed. And going forward, even more copper will be needed. But so I think they're behind the curve there on that one. But there we go. What can you say? You've got a government there. It's at the moment it all over the place, aren't they? We've got ministers, jumping into office and out of office every 5-10 minutes. There's no continuity at all. So I don't know. Well, maybe after the next election it'll settle down a bit, and who knows?
Yeah, I think we've got to get this election away, and I think if the Tories stand a chance of winning, they've got to bring Penny Mordaunt in and put her in charge, because she's...
Oh, bit of politics there from... Do you like Penny Mordaunt, Al, do you? You wouldn't mind having her in the core shed.
Thinking man's crumpet, I think. No, you can't say that. Goodness me, no.
No, you can't say that.
No.
Better write it better. But she failed against her. She lost last time, didn't she? I mean,
She did. But I think she's got a tremendous amount of gravitas and, a potential great female leader in the making there. But I think the Tories are so far behind the curve, it'll be a miracle if they beat Keir Interesting Starmer to number 10.
Yeah, I think the only way Tories going to win is if Thatcher comes back from the dead and says, all right, I'm standing again, but that's not going to happen. Yeah,
well,
I don't think it's going
to happen. Perhaps Penny Mordaunt is Thatcher's daughter, the Iron Lady Mark II, who knows?
Yeah. Okay, what's next? What's last pick here?
Okay, last pick. So we're on the cannabis now, sit back and relax. So this is Voyager Life. This is an Aquis listed company. So Voyager Life.
I've got that in chart. Right.
Epic code VOY. Now this company was founded initially by Nick Tulloch, who is the chief executive in 2020. And Nick is also chief executive or MD at ECR Minerals.
With the link there then, gold and grass.
Grass, golden grass. Well, yeah,
yeah. I'm into gold. What's your hobbies? Gold and grass.
Gold and grass, and not necessarily in that order.
No.
Okay, so So Voyager Life are a, it's a brand for premium CBD and hemp products, and they have a range of products for CBD products for skincare, for pet care, and a whole raft of stuff. They've made a series of acquisitions over the years, and Nick Tulloch is a very shrewd operator. He's very careful in spending company money, and they've made a series of acquisitions, skincare acquisitions, and white label skincare products. They have a manufacturing facility up in Perth in Scotland. And as of now, they also have a new manufacturing facility in Jersey, thanks to a merger that was completed early this week with Northern Leaf PLC. Now, this enlarged group will be worth some £5 million based on the current share price of Voyager, which is trading at 11 pence. And that gives Voyager a market cap of just 1.5 million. So there's no premium in the company at all. But based on, it's also based on the performance package which through which they will acquire the company is based on Northern Leaf achieving revenues of £5 million by the March in 2025. And when the companies come together, it'll be the first vertically integrated cannabis company in the UK, as I say, with manufacturing facilities in Scotland and in Jersey. And it's been a year of acquisitions already for Nick and the team. They acquired Amphora Health, a CBD product company, a share-based deal at 12p back in January this year. So Nick is being very careful, and he's putting the pieces of the jigsaw together and putting together a company that really, you know, if you look at, it's quite a good analogy actually with war paint, just, you know, we spoke about war paint, just building a business, good acquisitions at the right time, you know, able to build a business, start generating revenues, keep control of fixed costs, generate economies of scale from that. And that is exactly what Voyager Life will be doing. It's got the manufacturing facility, the agreed acquisition deal with Northern Leaf will take place, you know, provided Northern Leaf hits those revenue targets of 5 million. So the companies will come together and they will manufacture, they will control probably a significant percentage of all the CBD and hemp products sold in the UK and in Europe. And, you know, that's going to be, that could well be a company to watch for the future. It could well provide a similar performance, albeit on a smaller scale to start with, than war paint. So watch this space.
Yeah, I think you can't compare the war paint yet. Well, let me ask you about CBD. Have you ever tried CBD?
I haven't, no. But I know people who have, and I know people that swear by CBD products and love it. So
Yeah. Well, it obviously does for some people. I have no effect on me at all. So I've tried a little bits and pieces. But there's a lot of this about them. What differentiates these guys from, because let's be honest, the market now, you can get CBD anything, toothpaste, a lot, toilet paper, whatever you want, it's there.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, what differentiates this company from others?
Well, I think what differentiates this company is the process they've taken to get there. Because, as you say, there are so many products. So Voyager, realizing this, they have because each of these companies that manufacture, they turn over a small amount of money. You know, they're not big cash businesses, but you know they've got steady turnover. So what Nick and the team have done, they've made those acquisitions and they've put those companies together. So when you walk into a shop and see an array of CBD products, a significant percentage of the products on the shelf will belong to Voyager Life. So if you're comparing two products, you might well be comparing two products from Voyager Life. So whichever one you buy, it goes into their pot. And that's the secret. I think it's probably a fairly fragmented market. And this is something that Voyager are addressing by really pulling all of the key operators together, putting them under one roof. And then, you know, you've got the economies of scale that go with that. And of course, you know, if there is a big surge in CBD awareness and products being sold, then of course Voyager is in pole position to take full advantage of that.
Are they generating revenue yet?
They are, yes, indeed. Oh. Their revenues. So if we look at the half year in October 23, they generated 165,000. In turnover, they have £551,000 cash at the bank. So it's a, you know, it's a good cash business. You know, they're covering their costs. They're covering all the fixed costs, covering the cost of the manufacturing facility. And of course, they're, you know, through this deal, they'll have two manufacturing facilities, so they can scale up what they're doing without having to take on any extra space, any extra overheads to do that. And that's key. And really, that's what Warpaint did with their company. You know, they through making the
acquisition. I love what you're trying to do here, Al, Lincoln, with Warpaint. I love that. I love it. I know what you're doing here.
Yeah. But just from little acorns.
Yeah. By the way, you mentioned Aquis. That's another stock you've talked about a little bit. I wouldn't mind revisiting that company next week or the week after, whatever, because it's quite an interesting space. It's just not just the own. It's almost like the old thing about owning the picks and shovels. You know, there's companies on Aquis, but it's like if you go back to sort of London Stock Exchange Group, you know, when you look at previous successful companies, you think, okay, what model have they got? And you've got Aquis, of course, smaller, but they own a lot of data there and they supply around the world. So it's very interesting, Aquis, actually. And it's got a very high rating. I mean, some of the broker targets are quite very high on that. And so the valuation is not good. But I mean, the valuation is almost questionable, but they are growing and they are in an interesting space. So maybe
you look at Aquis. Yeah. And again, your point about owning the picks and shovels, you know, it's a cash cow. You know, every transaction that takes place on that exchange, they take a sliver. And that's a great business model. And, you know, Voyager Life doing it, Warpaint are doing it. When we talk about Aquis Exchange next week, I'm going to draw a parallel with another company there in the area of tokenization. But that's for then, you know, we won't discuss that now. But they're in a similar
result.
Similar opportunity.
Who's Tottenham playing next? Any, do you know?
I haven't looked. I was so disappointed over the weekend. I had to drown my sorrows afterwards. Thankfully, we went out for a meal with some friends, and all was good because
that's all right.
Mrs. G drove home, so
there we are.
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go. Share screen there. You got where are we?
Luton Town.
Yeah.
Luton Town on Saturday.
Oh, yeah, yeah. What's the date then? Is that 30th of March on Saturday? No, it can't be, can it?
No, it can't be. Hang on. It's the 18th of March. So, yeah, that's the next one. So we're not playing this weekend.
Oh, okay. All right, then.
Yeah, okay.
All right, rest. Yeah. Okay. Marvellous stuff. All right, cheers for that, fella. And speak you next week.
Thanks, Jess. Speak you next week.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.